Blog Talk Radio.
Rushing in from the traffic, and so I want to say
Happy Sabbath, everybody. We pray everybody is doing well on today. We are going to be continuing in the Exodus on this evening. We're working up to the Feast of Trumpets, and I wanted to do this lesson before, you know, that day came up. Hold on just a second. Just a second here. Okay. So we are doing the same thing, the same lesson. Some people are saying they're not receiving the email. Let me do a quick check that announces the lesson. Just a second here. Let me go into group. See why this is not going out, or if it went out or not. Okay, there's no pending lesson there, so. Okay, let's go ahead and continue with this lesson on this evening. We are, as I said, we're continuing with the Exodus. We have the Feast of Trumpets starting, coming up on the night of the 16th of August, and we will be in observance and celebrating that particular feast day. For those that have not, you know, ever attended the trumpets is the official announcement when the Most High came down to meet Israel, and we're going to be reading on that tonight, covering that in the lesson. And so this is the official start of the fall feast celebration with the Most High. His fall feast days, and so the Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement, the Latter Rain, the eighth day. So I pray that, you know, if you observe that you have put in for the time off, especially for Tabernacles, and that, you know, you are in observance of these days.
Welcome.
Because we are commanded to be in observance of them. Let me find, trying to get my screens and stuff arranged. Okay, so we're going to go ahead. I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, those that are in Blog Talk, those that are on the internet in general, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're in the Far East or the Middle East, the African continent, the European theater, the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. It has been, this summer has flown by, and, you know, I'm waiting for the heat to leave. So this last summer holiday for the world, their Memorial Day, I believe it is, Feast Day, their holiday, a lot of people trying to get out of town and do whatever. Traffic was horrendous coming home. I was surprised I was able to make it here on time, coming from the hospital. But, you know, Yah is good and greatly to be praised. So to all those, to everyone listening, happy Sabbath to you, and may the Most High blessings be upon you. There is no other news that I know of for today. So we're going to go ahead and pray in, do our statement of faith, pray in, and jump into this lesson. Okay, so let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads, and let us go before the Most High. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham. Just a second. According to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29, I can do all things through me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise on today, Father. And we lift you up and magnify your name. For you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. And another will we not bow down to, Father. For you are great and wonderful, and you are majesty upon majesty. You are glory upon glory. You are Lord of lords, and you are King of kings, Father. And we just give you all glory and honor and praise on today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 10,000 praises to you, O Yah Elohim. 10,000 praises times 10,000 praises to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that walk in Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this evening, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen. And amen.
Amen.
Our scripture for this evening, starting in 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and for those that are reading along, I am personalizing it. For there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of our enemies, in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, to thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron. that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. And now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which Yah Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. The book of Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. And the Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah Elohim of thy fathers, have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John chapter 14 and verse 15. The book of John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar. The sounding of the shofar. Thank you.
It is always good to stand before you on the Lord's Sabbath day. In fact, this day, sisters and brothers, is what we're going to talk about and what it means. The title of this lesson is the Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. The Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. You know, we keep these feast days because that's a part of God's plan. And at the very top of the feast days is the Lord's week of Sabbath, because this day means something. But being that if you are people that don't observe the Lord's Sabbath day, then you don't have a clue what the Lord is doing, and you don't have a clue what this day means. The Lord give you these things, not just say, I'm going to put you through some rituals so I have you being busy. He give you certain things that you need to do, which is beneficial to your salvation. And it will also tell you what he is doing.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions. God put the plan in motion from the very beginning, then gave the law to Moses so we know when we sin it. And with his own finger, it was personally written, but still the law that says remember is the first we forget. And what's worse is you got the nerve to call yourself Christians, like when Christ came the Sabbath day starts switching, but no mention of Sunday Sabbath in scripture. So where it come from if God didn't deliver? Don't say one of Paul's epistles, like Paul somehow supersedes the official. How the servant gonna serve a different dish from the menu? Remember, Paul's habit was to teach on the Sabbath, and he ain't preach against the law, he was keeping commandments. And since when did Paul establish Christianity standards? Thought the devil definition of Christian was those that follow Christ, and the Lord's Sabbath starts every Friday night. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness, I'm just one who doesn't add nor diminish from scripture that's written revelations. Who switched the day of convocations? Worshiping the constellations, not knowing it's pagan. That's the Roman congregation giving false information on that other Jesus from these Japheth nations. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. These modern day Christians, they ain't got no clue. They try to justify their lies till their face turn blue. Your New Testament refuse, eradicated in lieu. And your Easter celebration proves you know it's the truth. How can Sunday be the first day and the Sabbath too? And at the end of the Sabbath, Mary came to the tomb. Man, Saturday is the day the Lord stood up to read, but who you follow? Constantine or Luke 4:16? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions?
The world is so uninformed until they don't even know that the only God that this man has ever dealt with is Jesus before he became Jesus. And you have people arguing about, well, I like the God of the Old Testament, other I like the God of the New Testament, but what they don't realize, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Therefore, if you realize that they are both one and the same, then you understand that nothing has changed since the Lord started dealing with man. Somewhere along the line, people think that there are changes when it comes to the Word of God. Sister and brother, there is no change. The Lord says he's God and he changed not.
Amen. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, y'all. Don't take hallowed issue with me. The Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Follow Jesus direct.
That was a command.
On the day that he rested.
Yeah. Not a suggestion.
Falling for a deception.
I'm just giving a message.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, hallowed and blessed it. My folks just professing, follow Jesus' directions.
Yeah.
All right, amen, 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 amen. Couple of announcements real quick, feast day announcements. The observance of the Feast of Trumpets this year will be the 16th of September in the evening. The actual day, calendar day on your calendar is the 17th. It's a no-work day. So the 16th in the evening, which starts the 17th, the day of the 17th is the observance of the Feast of Trumpets, and 17 September is a no work day. 9:25, or the 25th of September in the evening, we will start the Day of Atonement. We will have the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is 09:26, 23. That is a no work day on that day. And then the Feast of Tabernacles starts the 1st of October through the 8th of October at evening. So the 10th of October in the evening through the 8th of October in the evening. And then on the 8th is the 8th day feast. So the 2nd of October is a no-work day, and the 9th of October is a no-work day. I will announce these again on next week. You should have the feast day calendar, and I pray that everybody is in attendance. And if you're able to observe these days, no work days, then you should, because by the scripture, there are no work days. All right, that being said, we're going to go ahead and jump to the evening's lesson. And again, once again, I want to welcome everybody to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I am Brother Miles, and we are still working on the Exodus. And this is the Exodus Part 4. And so a quick review of what we've gone over. In Exodus Chapter 1, the Most High tells Moses that he's going to send him into Egypt to deliver his people. And he tells us that he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh will not let the people go, that the Most High might destroy Egypt. And so we read through verse 18, or chapter 18, where the Most High brings the plagues on Egypt, all the way up to killing the firstborn of the Egyptians, the firstborn of the servants, and the firstborn of beasts, all the cattle and horses and everything else. And so it's a terrible day in Egypt, but and it's designed so that the Most High can destroy Egypt, but also to deliver his people out of Egypt. Okay. And again, as I said on previous weeks, the Most High had to come up with a way to get his people to want to leave Egypt. For all practical purposes, they were Egyptians. All of them that were living at that time had been born in Egypt. And so, Pharaoh, when Joseph was alive, Pharaoh and Joseph gave Israel the best of the best in Egypt, the best land, and Israel became the royal herdsman. That was their job. And so a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, which turned out to be an Assyrian Pharaoh, Egypt had been conquered, came in, and he didn't know Joseph. He didn't recognize the Hebrew Israelites, and he enslaved them. But this was all at the doing of the Most High. I need to get this people to cry out to me to deliver them out of this land. I need to get them to want to leave this land. So let me have a king come into office, a Pharaoh come into office that doesn't recognize what Joseph did and doesn't recognize my people and enslave them, put them in hard bondage, that they cry out to me to be delivered. The Most High has, by the time we get to Exodus 19, which is where we're going to start tonight, the Most High has delivered Israel out of Egypt. He has spoiled Egypt, and he has brought them to Mount Sinai. And so we're going to start in Exodus chapter 19 on tonight. Now, what I want you to pay attention to here in Exodus chapter 19, this is the first time that Israel sees Israel as a nation, sees the Most High. They don't get to see him, his personage, but they get to see him descend in a dark cloud onto Mount Sinai, and they get to hear his voice. And he allows them to hear his voice, that they will believe, number one, that he exists, which they should already know that by all the miracles and the plagues that he brought on Egypt. But also, he wants them to believe Moses talks for him, and that he talks with Moses. Okay, and so as we continue reading in this story, understand that between Exodus 19 and Exodus 40, it covers 6 days. 6 days from chapter 19 to chapter 40. 6 days. And the Most High gives Israel his statutes, his laws, his commandments in those 6 days. Now, for those of us who, you know, wish that the Most High talked to us and wish that we could hear his voice, all of Israel at this time heard his voice. And he gave them the commandments. Then he called Moses up to the mountain. See, when you see the Ten Commandments on TV, you'll see Moses go up onto the mountain and the Most High writes the commandments for him on a tablet. And he does that in the scriptures. But also he caused Israel to hear his voice, that they might fear him, that they might believe that Moses is his prophet and that he speaks to Moses. Okay, and so I want us to pay attention here in Exodus 19 because he gives some instructions that he wants Israel to follow. And, you know, he's telling them some things to do. And we want to pay particular attention to this. Now, this is the actual Day of Trumpets. Well, no, this is when we first started, it won't be. But by the time we get to about verse 9 or 10, it will be. Okay, so between the first 10 or 20 verses, 3 days are going to go by. Okay, 3 days. So let's read this. Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So the third month, they have been traveling in the wilderness for 3 months. It takes them 3 months to go from Egypt to the mountain of the Most High. For they were departed from Rephidim. Now, I told you on last week, Rephidim is actually what modern-day Jews call the Star of David. David never had a star, okay? And so the Star of David is what is this Israel learned to worship this star, Rephidim, okay? And they named it the Star of David, but David never worshiped this star, and it was never a symbol for ancient Israel. It's not until modern-day times. So understand, we're not supposed to worship the Star of David. We're not supposed to have it as an emblem. And it took me a minute because, one of the previous church that I went to, they called themselves sort of becoming Hebrew-lightish. I'm going to say it like that. And they were selling sweatshirts, with the Star of David on them. Okay? And, with the name of the church and the Star of David. It was not until later that I found out that, that we shouldn't wear that star, okay, by the scriptures. and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto Elohim, and Yah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Remember, he wanted them to leave. So he's reminding them, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. You will obey my voice indeed. Underline it, because that is the first commandment. And it's referenced in the New Testament as far as being the first commandment indeed. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure. Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Now this if condition, setting expectations. If you do this for me, or if you do this, then I will do that. And so the Most High has never done anything with Israel that didn't have requirements with it. If you obey me, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So he's setting it up with them from the very beginning. Obey my voice, okay, and keep my covenant. Keep the contract that I'm making with you. Then you shall be my people. Then you shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all people. Now, this is above all people in the earth. And so we got to understand that the Elohim that created everything is telling Israel, if you obey me, then I'm going to make you my priesthood. And I'm going to set you above all the people on the earth. Because, why? Because all the earth is mine, and I can do this. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which Yah commanded him. So Moses went down and told the people, hey, that if you will obey his voice and keep his commandments and keep his covenant, then you're going to be special to him. Now, this word peculiar in that verse, this word peculiar, it doesn't mean weird or funny or queer. It means to be so special that I would lock you in a vault and put angels to guard you. That's how special that word peculiar means there. You're so special that I would lock you up and put guards on you to make sure nobody stole you. Okay? That's what that word implicates and means. So he tells all the people the words that the Most High tells them. Verse 8, and all the people answered together. Now, this is what Israel has to do today, and this is what Israel refuses still to do today. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yah has spoken, we will do. We call ourselves his people, but we don't want to do what he said do. We want to do what we want to do. But he says, they said, all that Yah has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yah. Yah, the people have acknowledged and agreed that all that you have said, they will do. So first, it's obey my voice. That's the first command. We will do that, Yah. We will obey your voice. Second is, keep my covenant. We will do that, Yah. This is what they agreed to obey his voice and keep his covenant. We agree. All that you have said, we will do. Verse 9, and Yah said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee. I'm going to come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear. Underline that. Because what if you heard the Most High talking? What if you actually heard his voice? Would it have an impact on you? Would it convince you that he exists? Because right now, we have to believe that he exists by faith, different levels of faith. And if we believe that we have heard the voice of the Most High, it requires a little bit less faith because I heard him speak. But you still got to have faith because you've never seen him. Okay, so he says, I'm going to come down unto thee in a thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you, with thee, and believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto Yah. Yah, they have said that all that you have said, they will do. And Yah said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them. Sanctify means to set apart, separate them. Sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Now, they've been traveling 3 months. And the Most High said, I'm going to come down and visit, and I want them to be clean when I come. Sanctify them. Separate them from anything that is unclean. Have them to wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day. Be ready on the third day. For the third day, Yah will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people, round about, set a boundary, saying, take heed to yourselves, that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. So here's a boundary, don't go past this boundary. Don't touch the mountain that Yah comes down on, or you will be put to death. There shall not a hand touch, surely be stoned or shot through. So anybody that touches the mountain, you're going to either stone them or shoot them through with an arrow. You're going to kill them for touching the mountain. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long. Okay, now this is what the Feast of Trumpets is all about. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount. The trumpet announces the arrival of the Most High. Just like we see in the movies, or if you've seen it in real life, like when Queen Elizabeth died, if you watched her funeral, they blew trumpets for hours and hours for her funeral. How much, so this is what where royalty gets this from. They're copying what the Most High said to do for his arrival. Royalty is arriving. High Elohim, the highest of all powers, is arriving. What kind of fanfare do you think that's going to come with? He said, you're going to hear the blowing of trumpets. And we're supposed to hear that when he comes back again. Because we're supposed to see him in the air. He's not coming through the womb of a woman. He's not going to grow up as a child and then get up in an airplane or a spaceship or anything like that. He says, I'm going to darken the sun and the moon. I am the light, and you're going to see me coming. And when I'm coming, you're also going to hear these trumpets, because I'm going to come with the last trumpet. And the last trumpet you're going to hear is my arrival, the announcement of my arrival. Now let's hear what they heard. Let's read what they heard. Let me start in verse 13 again. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Be ready by the third day. And come not at your wives. Don't have any sexual relations that the Most High is showing them the act of sex is an unclean act with him. And if you come before him and you have had sex, you are unclean. Okay? And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mountain. Now, the darkest clouds I've ever seen is when I was in Houston. And we had a storm roll in, and these clouds were so black that it literally turned night. Turned nighttime. Dark, coming in a thick, dark cloud. And you hear thundering, and you see lightning, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. So imagine this, you're at the base of the mountain or you are in your tent, whatever it is, it starts to thunder, it starts to lightning bad. Not you know, just a lightning strike here and then a boom, but you got to imagine this like a terrible storm, lightning every 2 or 3 seconds and thundering every 2 or 3 seconds. And it's so close to you that if you've ever been close to lightning when it strikes, it's like you see the lightning and then boom! And this is what's coming. And then you start to hear the sound of trumpets, a trumpet blowing. And it's blowing a long time. And the closer that the Most High gets, the louder the trumpet is. And it's not, you know, at a decimal level that, you know, you hear it, but then all of a sudden it starts to get so loud that it starts to scare you. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with Yah. The Most High wanted to meet with Israel up front. And they heard this trumpet, and they saw this lightning and heard this thunder. And the trumpet is so loud that it causes them to tremble. And they stood in the nether part of the mount. They stood in the farther part away from the mountain. Okay? And the Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, on fire. It was smoking because of Yah descended upon it in fire. Now, we've read in previous lessons that the Most High's throne itself is on fire. And he himself is described in the scriptures as being the color of fire. Yellowish red amber from the waist up to the waist down. The color of fire. So his throne is descending on Mount Sinai, and Mount Sinai is on fire. And we read in Revelation that the fire comes out of his throne. Okay? And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. So the smoke coming out of this cloud is going up like the smoke out of a furnace. You know, when you see smoke coming out of a furnace, you see the smoke, and if the hammering from the heat, this is what's being described here. And the whole mountain is smoking and on fire. And the ground is shaking. And Moses said, hey, y'all come and meet the Most High. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder, became louder and louder, Moses spake and Elohim answered him by a voice. Now the Most High did this so the people could hear it. And Yah came down upon the Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And Yah called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And Yah said unto Moses, go down. Now come up here. Now go down because those people are hard-headed. Charge the people lest they break through unto Yah. Because you know, you saw and heard all this, you know there's going to be some curious people. Heck, you know there's going to be some disobedient people. If they already have been. They've been 3 months traveling and they already were murmuring and complaining and being disobedient. And Yah says, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto Yah's gate. So look, and many of them perish. I've already told you, they come up here, they're going to die. I don't want to kill none of them, so go down and charge them again. And Moses, let's see. And let the priests also, which come near to Yah, sanctify themselves, lest Yah break forth upon them. See, being in the presence of the Most High, if you come in his presence in the wrong condition, he don't have pity. He will break forth on you and kill you, whether you're his priest or not. And so he says, sanctify the priest, anoint them and do all that kind of stuff. Make sure their clothes are washed, that they haven't come after their wives. Because I'm going to call some of y'all up here eventually, and I want them to come, okay? But make sure that they are sufficiently sanctified, lest I break forth on them and kill them. And Moses said unto Yah, the people cannot come up to the mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And Yah said unto him, away, go, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. Now Aaron is the high priest. We got to be sanctified. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto Yah, lest he break forth upon them. So go get Aaron. Go down, get Aaron. Y'all come back up. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Exodus chapter 20. Now remember, the people also can hear. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, now listen, I am Yah, thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. You shall not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now the people are hearing this. Okay? Thou shalt not take the name of Yah thy Elohim in vain. For Yah thy Elohim, for Yah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. To take his name in vain is to enter into a relationship with him and come into the covenant with him, and then don't keep the covenant. It's a marriage covenant. And so you break your vow through disobedience, through not honoring him. So don't take my name as your Elohim or as your husband and then dishonor me as though my name is, you know, my name is worthless. So that's what that commandment means. Don't enter into a relationship with me and then don't obey me. Don't keep my covenant. Don't take my name as in marriage in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So remember to honor me on the day that I said to honor me. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. 7th day is the Sabbath of Yah thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy men servant, nor thy maid servant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days Yah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, He said, remember this day because you're going to honor and remember that I'm the creator. In 6 days, Yah made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, made it holy. Just remember this, because when we honor him in the Sabbath, we remember that he is the creator. He says, and this is the day I want you to do it. And in Isaiah chapter 58, he tells us, if you don't do it, you dishonor me. If you don't keep my Sabbath day, you dishonor me. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which God thy Elohim giveth thee. Now, the Most High tells us when we did a study of the law, there are two or three individuals that he says to fear. Fear him, and he says to fear your mother and your father. If you dishonor the Most High, the penalty is death. If you dishonor your mother and your father, the penalty is death. Honor your mother and your father, and that is to honor them, not just coming to visit, but when they get old, taking care of them, when they can no longer take care of themselves. Because the priest, by the time Messiah came, the priest was saying, hey, whatever you can do by your mother and father, whatever you can do, it is enough. I'm sort of paraphrasing this, but if they just say that you're their son or daughter, you have done them well. You don't owe them nothing. But the Most High says, no. Messiah said, no, that is the tradition of men. To honor them is more than that. Okay? And you better fear them, because to not fear them and not obey them in the law is a death penalty. To curse them or hit them is a death penalty. That's why, you know, I don't like to hear kids and even grown kids curse their parents, curse around them, because the Most High doesn't like it. And in the scripture, that amount of disrespect would cost you your life. And this is what Israel couldn't do, what they wouldn't do. Most High, you want me to kill my child? I told them that if they cursed you or if they hit you, they were to be brought to the elders of the city and be stoned to death and didn't obey you. They were to be brought to the elders of the city and stoned to death. Those are the only people the Most I told you to fear, him and your mother and father. Everybody else says, don't you fear. Okay? So honor your mother and your father, that thy days may be long upon the land which God thy Elohim giveth thee. Because if you didn't honor them back here, your days were not going to be long upon the land, because if they did what the Most I said to do, you'd have been killed. Okay? As a young man or a young woman. Thou shalt not kill. And this really should be, thou shalt not murder. To take a life unjustly. For no reason. For not, you know, not having justification to do it. They did not threaten you. You broke into their house. You woke them up. They surprised you and you killed them. You murdered. At the same token, somebody broke into your house. You caught them and you killed them because they were threatening you. Then you were justified. Okay. But we know when we read into the law, even if you were justified, if it was an accident, then their death could be avenged. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet or want thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet or want thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his oxen, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed, they left, and stood afar off. Now they heard this stuff, and they were afraid. They removed themselves. They left the mountain, or the borders of the mountain. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die. So I don't know if this is an attempt by our forefathers to say, hey, you speak with us because you're not Elohim. But don't let Elohim speak with us, lest we die. Because he just said, do these things and hear my voice. And they know that he's not playing. Okay, and he's already said, if you don't do these things, then you're going to die. And verse 19, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die. So Moses, you talk to us, but we don't want to talk directly to him. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. For Elohim has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. See, people think they're not going to sin out of love. People think they're not going to sin because, you know, the Most High is their friend, or that they have deep reach for him. No, he says, I'm doing this so that you fear. My fear may be before you, not my love, not your respect, but fear of me, that you sin not. Because if you sin, I am going to take out this penalty. And because the Most High doesn't do it right away today, people think that, you know, as the word says, they think that he's slack concerning his word. It ain't like that. He ain't going to do that. He says, I have selected a day that I'm going to do all this, that I am going to get everyone. I'm going to judge everybody. A day. So I'm not going to get everybody as they do something. I will punish some, chastise some. But I've made a day where I'm going to actually judge everybody. And all these things, that the greatest punishment that I can give you, you're going to receive. But right now, I want you to hear my voice, obey my covenant, obey my commandments, fear me so that you sin not, so that you don't transgress. And the people stood afar off and brought Moses too near unto the thick darkness where Elohim was. Children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you. I have talked with you from heaven. So, you are without excuse. You shall not make with me Elohims of silver. Neither shall you make unto me Elohims of gold. Don't make no gods of silver and no gods of gold and an altar of earth. Now, this is where the church has to understand. If you're going to make an altar to the Most High, even in a building, the altar itself can't have any cut stones in it. No pre-shaped stones like brick or cement or anything like that. It has to be all uncut stone, natural stone. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereupon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, and thy sheep, and thine oxen, in the places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. Now, he's setting up Israel in the sacrificial system. And we know today we don't do animal sacrifices. As a matter of fact, the Most High forbade that we do animal sacrifices, temple, wherever he said his name was. So if we were to try to do those things today, we would be in violation of his law. even though he's telling them right now, I want you to make animal sacrifices to me, because the blood of bulls and goats, their blood and their fat smells good to me, burning. It smells good to me. It pleases me. But I want you to do it where I tell you to do it. And so when we read in the law, he told them, hey, don't make your sacrifices at home. Don't make them out in the fields. Because Israel was following after the gods of the land, and they were making sacrifices to demons and everything else out in the field. They weren't sacrificing to Yah. So he says, yeah, yo, y'all can't do that out in the fields no more. You got to bring it to the priest and let him do it. Okay. But he's telling them here, when you do make an altar, make it out of earth. And then later on we'll see that he says that you can't make it out of cut stone, anything that had a tool put to it. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn or cut stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. I only want natural stones, and I only want them put together. If you got to pack them with earth to make them stand up, do whatever. But don't you put no tool to it. If you have, you have polluted it. It is not acceptable. Neither shall thou go up the steps unto my altar. Don't make any steps up to it, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. You know, because back then, they might have on some type of kilt, or, you know, they didn't actually have pants. They had a robe that tied at the waist, but they may not have had no underwear on. He says, so don't make my altar with steps, that your nakedness be not discovered thereon. You walking up to the altar and your butt hanging out. Uh-uh, don't do that. Exodus 21 and 1. Now these are the judgments. A judgment, realize who you are dealing with. You have a judgment after you have had a trial. And that trial determines whether you are innocent or guilty. So if the trial is by one man, a judge, or is by a jury, like in our case, or it's the Most High. The Most High said, these are my judgments. So if somebody breaks these, here is what I'm telling you to do. This is my judgment. And I am the highest authority, power. So you don't get to appeal over this. You don't get to say, no, I don't want to do that. And this is, again, this is what our forefathers did. Well, Most High, we don't really want to do all that. We don't want to do that. But this is his judgment, which thou shalt set before them. So if this happens, this is what I want you to do. That is my judgment. He didn't ask Israel to make a determination. He didn't make this optional. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. So if you bought a Hebrew servant, you see right here, having come out of slavery, as a people, we don't want to hear buying other people. But this is in the scripture. And it's the Most High saying. Now he says, if you buy one of your own, they serve you for 6 years. And in the seventh year, you got to let them go out free. And it came, if he came in by himself, to go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife will go out with him. So if he were married, if he came in by himself single, he'd go out by himself single. If he came in married, he goes out married. if his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master. Not don't belong to her husband. The children don't belong to the husband. And he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judge. He shall also bring him to the door and unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So if the man came by himself, he goes out by himself. If he came with a wife, he and his wife would go out together. If they had children, they go out together with their children. But if the master, his master gave him a wife, then the wife and the children belong to the master. He still go out by himself. Now, if he said he loves his master and he don't want to go, then the master was to pierce his ear. And he shall serve his master forever. And that's the Most High's judgment. There's no appealing above that. And if a man shall sell his daughter to be a maidservant, he shall go out she shall go out as the men servants. She shall not go out as the men servants do. So a man sells his daughter to work for somebody. That was a forever thing. He would go back and redeem her, but if he don't come back and redeem her, after 6 years, she don't go free. If she flees not her master, who has betrothed her to himself. Now, in this case, this man is taking her as a wife. Then he shall let her be redeemed, sell her unto a strange nation. He shall have no power, seeing he has dealt deceitfully with her. So this man came, and maybe he was in debt, whatever the case may be. He sold his daughter to work for this man. This man took his daughter as a wife. And then said he didn't want her after that, after he had slept with her. Then the Most High says that she could be redeemed, but she couldn't be sold to one of another nation. And if he betroths her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. So you betroth her to your son. Now she is your daughter, and you got to treat her like a daughter. Not like a strange woman, not like one of your maid servants. And if he take him another wife, her food and her raiment and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. So if he decides he wants a second wife, then he can't diminish his duties to the first. So these are his judgments. And this is what the world does not want to abide by. And these things are not canceled out in the New Testament. They're not canceled out. And the government of the world don't supersede these. These are my judgments. And if he do not these three unto her, then shall she go out free without money. So if he don't take care of business and don't do all those three things for her, then she can go free. Now, the dowry was hers, given to her father. So she can leave, she go back to her father and get her dowry. Now, the thing is, if he has spent her dowry, because the dowry was the bride price. These are my judgments. This is the final word on these things. Oh, but people didn't want to do them. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. There is a death penalty. So people say, I don't believe in the death penalty. The Most High says, if a man hits another man and kills him, shoots another man and kills him, and it's not justified, then he shall surely be put to death. If it's an accident, I'm going to make sanctuary cities where he can run to. And as long as the high priest that is in office is still alive, he has to remain in that city. It's a law. If he comes out of that city while that high priest is still alive and the revenger of death catches him, the revenger of blood catches him outside the city, then he was authorized to kill him, even though he killed the person in, you know, by mistake. This is my judgment, because a life requires a life. And if a man lie not in wait, but Elohim deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. And if a man comes presumptuously, willfully upon his neighbor, to slay him with guile, with hatred, thou shalt take him from my altar, that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. So he that hits his father or his mother was to be put to death. And he that stealeth a man and sells him, or he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. All those people who were part of the slave trade, who stole people, who helped ship them, who helped sell them, who owned them, the Most High said they should surely be put to death. Country has a great debt that it's going to have to pay for, because these laws did not go away. And the laws of man don't supersede the laws of the Most High. The judgments of men don't supersede the judgments of the Most High. And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That's why I don't like to hear, as I said, young men and women cussing around their father or mother, or to curse them. And I'm not talking about I curse you, even to have profane language around them, to speak profanely around them. It's disrespectful. And the Most High says they shall surely be put to death. If a man strive together, one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keeps his bed, so he's in the bed. If he rises again and walks abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be innocent, be quit, not held accountable. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. So I hit some man, you know, with a stone or a rock, or I shoot him, he don't die, then I have to make sure that he is healed and pay him for his lost time, whatever that is. Thoroughly healed means that if he don't thoroughly heal, then you're responsible forever. And if a man smite his servant or his mate with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Now, this is, again, a life for a life. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day, if the slave continue or the servant continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. He bought him. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, meaning that, you know, this was an accident, he shall be punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So the woman's husband is in his hands. And whatever the judges say, he has to pay them. And if any mischief follow, if it wasn't an accident, then thou shalt give life for life. The child's life, the man's life for the child's life, or the woman's life for the child's life. So when we talk about abortion and whether it is legal or not, whether it's acceptable or not, the child is the fruit of the woman's womb. And if it is taken willfully, then the Most High says that it's a life for a life. But if it's taken accidentally, then the life has to be paid for, but not with the person's own life. So is abortion legal? In the land it is, in the scripture it's not. It's a life for a life. You know, when women say that, you know, they should have control of their bodies, Most High says, hey, I never told y'all to sleep around. I never told you to be having sex outside of marriage. And so, and I never told you to use this as a form of child, you know, birth control. So we got too many kids, we don't want another one. So we're going to abort this. Most I says a life for a life. Have the child and give it up for adoption. Because the Most I said, these are my judgments. But men don't want to do what the Most I said to do. They want to make up their own laws, their own judgments. What our forefathers were guilty of, to make up their own laws and their own judgments. And the Most I says, these are my judgments. So when we say we follow the same God as the Bible, we have to follow his laws. We can't say we follow him and make up our own and then say we follow him and say we love him. It is talking out the side of our neck. Saying that we love him and saying that we're following him, but then we don't. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for a foot. Now, people believe in that, but they don't believe that they should give their life if they take the life of a child in the womb. And the Most High says, if a man takes the life of a child that is in a woman's womb, her fruit depart from her. If a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. Smite out his men servant's tooth or the maid servant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. So he's telling them, these are my judgments. You know, I want everybody to consider that. Because then we'll say, well, that was the Old Testament. That was in the Torah. Messiah said, not one jot or tittle shall pass away from the law. The Most High says, I'm not getting rid of sacrifice. You are to become that sacrifice. Stop killing the animals and you become the sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Still having sacrifices. Not sacrificing them for sin. Messiah was killed once for your sin. I'm not getting rid of the sacrifice. Messiah was sacrificed for you. And that sacrifice is good forever. Down through history. Every generation can count on that sacrifice. I'm not getting rid of that. You become the living sacrifice. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto me. So the concept of sacrifice is still there. But for now, we're it. This is my judgment. So when people think that things, the law was done away with, it wasn't. There were some things that were modified. And these are my judgments. The problem is, you know, we don't have ox anymore. There are still parts of the world that have oxen. But we can't seem to equate it to, oh, well, your vehicle. You're in control of your vehicle. The Most High says you're in control of your ox. So let's read this, because all we got to do is take it and apply it to today. Put it in the right circumstance, the right vernacular. If an ox bore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner shall be quit, shall be found innocent. You're not going to bring any more charges against him. Okay? But if the ox were one, were known to push with his horn in the path, and it has been testified to his owner, and he has not kept him in, has not controlled him, but that he has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner shall be put to death. It's like vehicular manslaughter. Now, if you were known to have hit somebody and killed somebody with your vehicle before, they call it vehicular manslaughter. But then the next time you do it, they may not say vehicular manslaughter. They may say vehicular murder. And you've been known to use your car as a weapon and kill you and destroy your car. So we can apply his laws today. If you had a dog that was known to bite and you didn't restrain your dog, let's say it's a pit bull or it's a German Shepherd, it's a St. Bernard, whatever, you know, a dog big enough to actually hurt someone, actually kill someone. And the first time that they bit somebody, you know, people came to you and told you your dog bit somebody, then the dog was supposed to die. But if, you know, if they, the dog didn't, wasn't killed, and he did it again, and you were told that, hey, your dog has a habit of biting people, and they kill somebody, then your dog was supposed to die, and you supposed to die. But man comes up with their own judgment. Now, we don't really like those laws. We don't really like those judgments. But if you are, quote-unquote, a Christian, if you are, quote-unquote, a believer in the Bible, then the laws of the Most High didn't change. But we would rather live by the laws of men than the laws of the Most High. Verse 30. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon it. So if the dog owner, dog killed somebody, the Most High says they were supposed to be killed, but the person said, hey, if you come up with $50,000, you can come up with $100,000, whatsoever is laid upon him. Whatever they feel like the person's life that killed, whatever they feel like it was worth to them, then if they could pay it, then they could ransom their own life. Have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to this judgment, shall it be done unto him. So in this case, it didn't matter whether it was a grown person or a young person. The judgment, the law would apply the same, depending upon the circumstance. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. If a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit, and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, and give money unto the owner of them. The dead beast shall be his. So you dig a hole in your yard, or in, you know, put one in the street. You cause one to be put in the street because they're doing work on your house or the city's doing work. You run into that hole and you cause somebody to damage their car, then you're supposed to pay for the damage. If you cause them to lose their car, then you pay them for their car. The car is yours. But you replace their car. And that jacked up car is yours to apply to today's time. But, you know, the this is what Messiah was talking about, the spirit of the law. And somebody will say, well, hey, he said an ox there. Yeah, that's what they were riding in those days. Are you riding an ox today? What was the spirit of the law? What was the intent of the law? That if you do something that you're at fault, that you would cover the damages for what you caused. And if it was a total, you know, if you caused somebody to total their car, then you would pay them for their car, whatever it was worth, and the total car would be yours. You might have it taken to the junkyard, but it belonged to you. And if one man's ox hurt another, that he die, then he shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also they shall divide. And if it be known that the ox has used to push it in times past, and his owner has not kept him, he should surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. Point is here that these are the Most High's judgment, and he's telling this to Israel. They're hearing this. They are hearing it. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep or kill it and sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. So he stole one, he's got to replace it with five or four, depending upon what he stole. Same principles apply today. So somebody comes into your house, they steal something, then they got to give you four or five times the value of it. That is the spirit of the law. The people in Israel would say, oh, that says an ox. How do we apply that today? What is the spirit of the law? What is the intent of the law? You took something. It had value to it. According to this, you pay four or five times the value to replace it. That's for their suffering, their replacement, and their hurt and pain. Two. Because if you got caught with it, oh man, I had to pay four or five times. And if you couldn't pay it, you went to jail until you could pay it. If a thief be found breaking up, breaking in somebody's house, and he be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. He got caught in the act. And he died. He got hit. And he got shot. And he died. He says there shall be no blood shed for him. Why? Because he was in the wrong. If the sun be risen upon him, that there be blood, there shall be blood shed for him. For he should make, if he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Now, that's what prison is all about. The problem is, today, rather than the thief paying you, the victim, they're paying the state. And the state used the system to take somebody that wronged you. If they pay the state, and the state don't give you any of it, oh, we need that for the prison guards and to pay for the prison itself and the guards and their salaries. But wait a minute, I was the one that was wrong. Oh, they went to jail. That's your justice. No, that wasn't supposed to be the justice because I'm still out of what they took. If the thief be certainly found in his hand, if the theft be certainly found in his hand, alive, whether it be an ox, an ass, a sheep, he shall restore double. The bottom line is, he didn't kill the animal and eat it or sold it. If it's caught on him, then he's going to pay double. Restore double. And if a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten and shall put in his debt and shall put it in his beast and shall feed on another man's field of the best of his own field, or of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. If you take somebody's best, you need to give them your best. If a fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the sacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. So the Most High is just saying, hey, these are my judgments. You can't overrule the Most High. And if man is going to, you know, technology change, time change, still apply the spirit of the law. That's why the scripture says, the letter killeth. Dude, that says if you kill my ox, he don't say nothing about my car. He don't say nothing about my dog. That's what Israel was doing. Hey, times have changed. We don't even have these things. What was the spirit of the law? The letter killeth. Can't do anything with that because that's not the letter of the law. The letter says it's an ox. But in the spirit of the law, you can judge the matter. And this is what Messiah was saying to us. We've got to be able to live by the spirit of the law. What was the law intended to do? Okay, let's keep going. Exodus 22, verse 7. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house. Hey, I gave you, I said, here, here's $10,000. Hold this for me. I'll be back in a day or two to get it. And it's stolen from you because you were, hey, you know, Miles, let me hold $10,000. Yeah, I'm holding $10,000 for him. Somebody broke in because you opened your mouth or you set it up. But, you know, let's say somebody broke in and took it. If the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges. See whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's good. So I gave this man my $10,000 to hold. He came back and said somebody took it. But then he didn't call the police to say somebody took it. He just told me that. Well, it seemed like he would be the one to take it. He didn't call the police. For all manner of trespasses, whether it be for an ox, for an ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost things, which another challenges to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges. And whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. Whoever the judge, if the judges say, hey, you're guilty of allowing this stuff to be stolen, you didn't protect it properly, we found you, you know, guilty, then you're going to pay double. We think you took it, you're going to pay double. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or any beast to keep it, and it die, or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of Yah be between them both. Dude, you know, it was out of my hands. I came outside, you know, I had your animal, your dog tied up outside. I came outside and something came and killed him. Nobody saw what happened. This is what I found. Then I swear to Yah that I didn't kill your animal and I didn't have your animal killed. That he has not put his hand unto his neighbor's good, and the owner of it shall accept thereof. If I'm willing to swear on the Most High that I didn't touch your stuff, I didn't do it. Then he says, hey, then you should be willing to accept my word that I didn't do it. And he shall not make it good. It wasn't my fault. I swear before Yah, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. And Yah says, then the owner of it should accept that. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make a restitution unto the owner thereof. Somebody stole it. Okay, well, that animal was worth this amount, or you owe me two of those animals. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for a witness, for evidence. Something tore up your dog, dude. And he shall not make good that which was torn. I didn't, you know, I didn't have anything to do with it. I had them tied outside, and something got a hold to him. And if a man borrow out of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. So I loan you, let's bring this into modern terms, I loan you my lawnmower. You go and cut your grass, and you break it. Then you should pay for it. Can't come to me and say, well, hey, it broke on its own. I was cutting my grass and it broke. Well, it was in your possession. When it broke, you owe me. Well, I'll pay to get it repaired. Okay, get it repaired. They can't repair it. Then you owe me a new lawnmower. Make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, and when you talk about be with it, you hired me to come and cut your grass. I break my lawnmower while cutting your grass. He shall not make it good. If it be a hired thing, it came for his hire. Still owe me what you said you're going to pay me, but you don't have to pay me for my broken lawnmower. I came and I was cutting your grass. I thought I cut it for $20. I broke my lawnmower. While cutting your grass, you still owe me the 20, but you don't owe me to replace my lawnmower. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed, so he entices a virgin, she's not engaged to anyone, and he lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. The dowry, the bride price. And take her for his wife. And if her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. So he has diminished this woman as far as the scriptures are concerned. He has defiled her. And, you know, he can't go to her father and say, well, hey, you know, she's defiled now. Her dowry should be left. No, you are to pay the dowry as though she had not been touched. And then she's still to be his wife. That's in another scripture. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now, that is saying, hey, if anybody practices witchcraft, then you're not to allow them to live. Whosoever lies with a beast, whosoever has sex with a beast, shall surely be put to death. Go into all kind of stuff today. And the world just went, you know, I was looking at the laws on taxes. I was reading something else about, you know, becoming a sovereign citizen and, you know, claiming your birth certificate and those types of things, you know, reclaiming your birth certificate and being able to write off debt based upon your birth certificate and that kind of stuff. And while I was researching that, I got into privilege. And privilege is there's a thing called a sin tax. They call it excise tax, but it's a sin tax. And the sin tax is the tax anything that they know is wrong. They tax you to do it. So they know smoking cigarettes is wrong. It harms your body. They charge you an excise tax on it to allow you to smoke. But that excise tax actually equals a sin tax, and that's what the way it is on the book. It's a sin tax. So this is what men are doing. But, you know, they are making laws to where they can marry an animal. And if you marry an animal, then they're going to say, oh, it is, right now, it is against most states' laws. Well, no, it's about 50-50. Where it's legal to sleep with an animal, or it's against the law to sleep with an animal. But the Most High said, this is my judgment. If anybody sleeps with an animal, they're to be put to death. Man comes along and says, hey, you know, that sheep, that horse, that cow, that dog, whatever, is looking good to me. They'll make it to where it's legal. That's why we can't let the laws of man overrule the laws of the Most High. We come from a higher authority than man. The creator of the world says this is sin, and the person should be put to death. Nah, we don't agree with that. We don't agree with that. So we'll make a law where it is a misdemeanor, or it will charge a tax on it. Excise tax, which equals a sin tax. To any Elohim, except unto Yah only, he shall utterly be destroyed, shall be put to death. Now the Muslims will do this. You go into a Muslim country and you are sacrificing or worshiping another god other than Allah, they will kill you. You can't do that. And then in lands where they don't do it, you know, Christianity and Islam, they tolerate each other. But in those lands where it's Sharia law, and they're going strictly by the Quran, they don't play that. And they don't play you talking against their Elohim or their prophet. Say something against Muhammad. They'll want to take your life. Say something against Jesus Christ or Yeshua. And the average Christian be like, okay, well, that's you. But he says, hey, if they sacrifice unto any god, save Yah only, except for Yah only, he shall surely be put to, shall surely be destroyed, and has to be put to death. So Yah didn't play that stuff either. But mankind in the modern day world, in the modernized Christianity, oh, we can't do that, Yah. If they disrespect you, we can't do that. Totally different mentality. And, oh, intimate. No, it didn't. It didn't change in the New Testament. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger. Don't, you know, vex a stranger, treat them badly, nor oppress them. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now, we got people in this world that make it a their duty to vex us as a people solely because of the color of our skin or because we came out of slavery. And they think it's okay. But then they'll look at the stranger as one of them that they don't know. Well, that's a stranger. They're one of us that we don't know. But if it's one of another race, oh, we're justified. But the stranger in this verse is anybody that is not like you. That is not you, that you don't know, no matter what the race. That don't vex the stranger. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Because these are the most vulnerable people. A woman who's a widow, and a widow indeed, according to the scripture, just because a woman's husband died doesn't make her a widow indeed. In order for her to qualify for the church to be obligated to take care of her, she had to be a holy woman. She had to be in church. She had to be in prayer. She had to be not, you know, known to be out chasing men or be in a marriage or a relationship that is ungodly. I got a boyfriend. Yeah, we sleep together, but we ain't married. Why? Because my benefits are better if I stay single. But then she becomes destitute and wants the church to take care of her. Then it says a widow indeed, and it gives the circumstances for when she is to be taken care of. The fatherless, they're supposed can't defend themselves, can't take care, you know, can't provide for themselves. So the Most High said these two people who are, you know, if they are a widow indeed or they're fatherless, then the church is obligated to take care of them. Society is obligated to take care of them. Society has never done that. But the Most High says, this is what I want. So the world has its own standard. If thou afflict them in any wise, in any way, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot. I will get pissed off. If a widow or a fatherless child cries to me that you are abusing them, and I will kill you with the sword. Some people dying, they don't know why they're dying. Mistreating a true widow or a fatherless child, they cry out to Yah. Next thing they know, they're dead. And oh, somebody broke in, killed them. Or they were standing at the bus stop, got shot by a drive-by. They were walking down the street and somebody just came up and killed them. And the family that the person belonged to, now they are sad, but the Most High says why he does. Keep reading. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. And your wives shall be widows. You were married, but you took advantage of a widow. And she cried out to me, now your wife is a widow. And your children fatherless. You took advantage of somebody that was fatherless. You got children, now your children are fatherless. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by you, thou shalt not, and this don't mean you the cause of their of them being poor, they live by you. Thou shalt not be to him as a usurer. Usurer is to charge them interest. Here, I see you, you know, you're doing poor, you're destitute. Here, I'm going to loan you $100, but you got to pay me back $110 or $150. Then don't do it. Neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. That's interest. Okay? If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, their clothes, as a pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by the sun goeth down. Now, if somebody is pledging their clothes, they are, for surely in these days, destitute. All I got is the clothes on my back. I need help. Here, I give you the clothes off my back. Yah said, you better give it back to him by the time the sun go down. Now, today, you would probably just say, hey, here's the money. But you probably want to loan it to him. But, you know, you may just give it to him. And in most cases, if they're that serious, you would just give it to him. At least I would. Just give it to him. Here, take this. Covering only, it is his raiment for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? If that's all he's got, he's sleeping in that. Whether it's under a box, you know, under a bread, how's he gonna sleep? You got him out there naked. It's cold, it's hot, whatever. Don't do it. And it shall come to pass when he cries unto me that I will hear, for I am gracious. So if he's going to kill the person that takes advantage of a widow or the fatherless, this homeless person that cries out to him. Hi, baby.
What are you doing?
I'm teaching. You want to sit here and listen?
Yeah.
Okay, you have to be quiet, though. Okay?
Why?
Because I said so.
What did you say?
Because I said so, man. Be quiet. Thou shalt not revile or fear the God, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Now, disrespect a God, okay? What does he mean by this? As I told you before, a God is someone or something that's been given power and authority. That's the definition of a God in the scripture. The Most High God is the Most High power and authority. He created everything. That he created everything. He's the most high power and authority. He's the most high Elohim, the most high God. If the most high gives you power and authority over someone or a situation, then you become a God, an Elohim. That's why he told Moses, I'm going to make you a God. I'm going to give you power and authority over Pharaoh. And Aaron shall be your prophet, your mouthpiece. I'm going to tell you, you as Aaron's God, tell Aaron. Aaron will tell Pharaoh. Okay. So he says, don't revile people who have power and authority over you, that are given power and authority over you. If that's where you find yourself in life, he says, don't revile them, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Now, we really, when Trump was in office, we really shouldn't be talking bad about him. And, you know, I'm guilty of this because, wow, I just could never see this man as being a ruler over me. I didn't vote for him, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I understand that I was in violation of the scripture. I should have just kept my mouth closed. Say one thing, one way or the other. And then vote against them the next election. Thou shalt not delay, Exodus 22 and 29. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first fruits of thy ripe fruits or thy liquor. The firstborn of thy son shalt thou give unto me. Now, the firstborn of Israel, and then later he changes this, he replaces the firstborn of Israel with the Levitical priesthood. And what he did was this, a one-for-one exchange. So one priest for one person, or one priest for one firstborn. Let me stop that. One priest for one firstborn. And then once you ran out of priests, then you had to redeem the firstborn in every family with money. There was a whole system that was set up. So a one-for-one as far as the priesthood went. And then once they ran out of priests, there were still people, firstborns left over, then they would have to redeem them with money. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep, 7 days it shall be with the dam. You have an ox or a sheep, a goat, anything that gives birth like that that you own and that you eat, then before you can kill it, you got to at least make sure that it is 7 days old. If you're going to give it for a sacrifice to the Most High, then it had to be 7 days old. You wouldn't just take it out the womb and it's just nursing and sacrifice it, or take it from its mother and give it to the Most High until it was 8 days old. Okay. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep, 7 days it shall be with the dam. On the eighth day thou shalt give it to me. This is what the circumcision was about as well. The circumcision of the male children on the eighth day to dedicate them to the Most High. But also, a male's blood doesn't start to clot naturally until 8 days after he's born. They have shots now that they give to the babies that they can circumcise them right there to cause their blood to clot. But without that shot, the baby's blood, male's blood, will not clot until the eighth day. And you shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall you eat any flesh that is torn of beast, no roadkill, you won't go to eat nothing that you found on the road, killed by another animal, or in the field. But you got people that will, you know, they will eat stuff like that. You come across something, it looked like it just died or just got killed, they will take it home and eat it. You shall cast it to the dogs. Starting in verse 1. What time is it? 7:11. Okay, let's stop here. We'll start with Exodus 23. We're going to read up through 40. We're going to try to get through 40 by the 15th of this month. Okay, so we're going to start, we'll stop here. Remember that the Most High, the biggest thing that I want you to take away from this, because we do the law in its own separate lessons and stuff. When we teach the covenant, the old and the new covenant, okay, and the spirit of the law is what the Most High wants us to be looking at. But what I wanted us to understand is that the Most High, when he came down with the fanfare of thundering and lightning and the blowing of the trumpet. You will find the trumpet in Revelation, and it says that Messiah will return with the last trump, and he's going to return with the trump of God. So we're going to hear him. We're going to hear him. And these are things that Antichrist cannot reproduce. Antichrist cannot shut down the sun. Antichrist cannot shut down the moon, where neither one of them give their life. Okay? He can't do it. But the Most High says he's going to cause it to happen. Where the sun doesn't give its light, and the moon doesn't give its light, and the earth won't be receiving any light from any of the stars, the only light they're going to see in the night sky or in the sky, period, is going to be him returning to the earth. And if we don't see that, we know it's not him. So Antichrist can come and he can, you know, call fire down from heaven. He can do all these different things, the miracles that he's going to do, but there's some things he cannot do. And that's what the Most High tells us. That is your sign that it's me. So when you see me coming like this, you see these things happen, you know it's me. But you're also going to hear this trumpet, and it's going to blow so loud, it's going to cause people to tremble, to be very afraid, just as I did with my own people, because I want men to fear me so that they obey me. And anybody who, you know, gets mad and don't want to obey me because they don't want to fear me, is going to suffer the consequences of it. So this is something that he told Israel, fear me so that you might not sin. Okay? With that being said, as I said, we'll pick this up on, well, actually, not next week, tomorrow morning. We will continue in this. And we're looking at, because he's still giving his judgment. His judgment. I have ruled on this already, and you don't get to appeal it. I am the highest authority, power and authority that there is, and still keep the spirit of the law. You take something from somebody, you need to replace it. You take a life, you need to pay with your life. If you take a life innocently, then you still owe your life, but I've made a sanctuary place for you to run to. I've made a way that you might get out of it. But according to his law, if you take a life, whether it's intentionally or by accident, you still owe your life. He just made a way that, hey, you didn't do it intentionally, so I'm going to make a way that you can escape out of it. But if you get caught, you still forfeit your life. So we got to understand his standards don't change. That being said, let's bow our heads. Father, yeah. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word, your judgment. Father, you are the Almighty. There is no one above you. If we don't agree with you, we have no one else to appeal to but ourselves. And Father, we often take ourselves and we elevate our righteousness over yours. And we do what we want to do, Father. Father, help us to understand that we are to be subject to you in all things at all times. Whether we want to believe it or not, There is a day coming that you will hold us all accountable. So, Father, help us to walk in your ways, to get into your spirit, and allow you to guide us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, so we will continue this in the morning, and by the time that we're finished with all these scriptures, 6 days will have passed in the scriptures. You know, you can read a verse in the scriptures, two verses, and sometimes between the first verse you read and the second verse you read, years could go by. But in this case, the Most High, this is very detailed, and only 6 days have gone by. 6 days are going to go by the time we go from verse chapter 19 to chapter 40. 6 days. 6 days the Most High was down on the earth, giving his laws to the people, giving his statutes, his judgment to the people. They heard his voice. Then he gave it to Moses. Here, now write this down. Record it and teach it to them. Hold them accountable to it. So may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandment, the whole duty of man. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Without you, there's no need. Shalom, brother and sister Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom.
Sabbath to you all.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath to you all. See you guys in the morning.
Shalom, brother Miles.
Shalom, sister Miles.